This is Agent versus Linder.
Let's get ready to rumble! Let the fight begin. If you're a top real estate agent, broker, lender, or coach, this is your podcast. This is Agent versus Linder. If it's about real estate or the lending industry, it's fair game. This is Agent versus Linder. And now the hosts, Ron Pippin and Taylor Archibald.
Welcome to another episode of Agent versus Linder. And today I'm excited to have Tonya Messina with, she's the broker and owner of Paradise Realty. And welcome, Tonya. I'm really actually pretty excited to have you on.
It's really a pleasure to be on a podcast of yours too. So thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. So tell us, you know, just introduce us to yourself. Tell us a little bit how you got in the business and where you're at today.
Okay. So I started in 2002. I wanted to become an agent so that I could purchase homes and just kind of build wealth with real estate, like my grandmother had done. And so I got into real estate, and I actually really don't help myself very much buying and selling anything because I help a lot of other people instead.
So do you not have rental properties? You not have any properties of your own?
I do now, but I like thinking out back over 18 years for how much I thought I was going to be doing it for myself, I really haven't. So
fair enough.
Yeah. So about 6 years ago, I realized that I could probably open my own company and reap the benefits of doing that and having more flexibility with clients and not having so much corporate red tape. And so I opened my own company, and it's been such a fun adventure, and I've loved every minute of it. I should have done it sooner.
Yeah. So for those that are listening, Tonya is the real deal. She did 120 transactions last year. I don't know if I should say that. I don't know if that's a cool thing to say or not, but you know, she probably wouldn't toot her own horn. So I'm going to, because that's an amazing accomplishment to do that many transactions as a real estate agent.
Thank you. I don't know how many other people do. So I don't know. I just know what
you know, what's really funny is that we were talking, and so tell me, for 120 transactions, normally you have a team. Who's your team?
My team is my sister, who I actually hired probably 16 years ago. Because I realized I couldn't do the paperwork myself, and I actually didn't like the paperwork, and she's really good at it. And so I hired her. She's a really good worker. She's able to do a lot of paperwork. She does. She works only from 9 to 2 every day. And it's pretty much just her and I, and we've got a really good system down that makes it really easy for me to plug people in. I still can't probably do more than 120 and keep the same customer service level. And that's really important to me too.
Well, I'm actually shocked that you have basically a part-time assistant and you do 120 transactions a year. That's a testament to your system and to your, and to you managing your time, because most of us just couldn't do that. You're what I call a unicorn.
Well, you're so nice. Thanks.
So, I want to talk a little bit about maybe what you do to manage your time, because I'm still just really shocked. 120 transactions with a part-time person to help you manage paperwork. What does your day look like? Do you plan out your day? Do you block time for specific activities?
Most of the time I know that I've taken a lot of classes that teach me how to time manage and time block. And a lot of times it goes out the window because I've got people that come from out of state or people that have certain jobs that I have to deal with. And so for me, it was more of a, I prepare the night before. I get all the documents I need for today, last night. So they're all in a stack, ready to go in the order that I will need them in. So that really helps me be able to wake up and focus on getting ready for the day and giving the self-care that I need for myself to be able to make it through the day. So that was probably the best thing that I ever did was get ready the night before. So I'm not stressed about anything today. And I probably could be better at time blocking as far as when I schedule appointments, but I have to be flexible. If I want to get a listing and they can only meet me at 7 p.m., that's when I'm going to go, you know? And so you got to be flexible, but also stingy. Kind of, there's a good balance there. I don't give up time with my family. If my daughter has a soccer game, I've raised four kids, you know, in the thick of this job, and my kids always come first, and my clients respect that and they understand it. And I've never had a problem with that.
You know, I found so many times that in our industry that people think they have to be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you put a client off for a couple hours, you're going to call somebody else. And I've just found that that's not true. As long as you can tell people what's going on and keep them informed that, hey, I'm going to my kid's soccer game. Can I call you after that? I'm with you. Most people are really respectful of that. You don't have to leave your kid's soccer game for, you know, 30 minutes. Most people will wait that 30 minutes or an hour. Business will still be there when you're done with the soccer game.
Yeah. And if there ever was a person that wouldn't respect that, it would be okay if they didn't want to work with me, you know, but it doesn't ever happen, but it would be okay with me.
Okay. That's really good advice for most of us because most of us just don't get that part. And I'm actually a little shocked that you don't time block a little bit more because it sounds like you're very organized. You put things together the night before, which I have personally found very helpful because if I get up in the morning and I don't have my day already planned, then the day plans me. Mm-hmm. Is it same with you?
Yes. Oh yeah. And I do have a simple morning routine where if I have to get up and start working on client things right away, it throws away everything that I do in the morning and then I'm off the rest of the day. So that's the way I found to keep on, you know, I walk with my friends in the morning and that's important to me. And if I had to be doing stuff for clients in the morning, then I would give up walking with friends and that's not going to happen. So, you know, you just got to prioritize.
Sure. So there is some time blocking. So like I go and do some reading in the morning and I go and run on the treadmill or run outside or do a little lifting or do something. And I do that every morning. But it's usually early enough that most clients are calling me, but so there's still some time blocking that you do so that you can have your priorities. And just like you said, you have your family, you have your balance of life, because if it's work 24/7, people just burn out too fast.
Yeah, it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
So 120 transactions a year. How do you get business? What is it that you do to bring business in the door?
You know what's funny? I get a lot of agents that ask me that, just agents that call and show my listings and like, how do you do all this? And they'll always call and say, can you tell me, do you get Zillow leads? Do you? And I'm like, no, I have never done any of that. But it's because I like working with the people that I love and that trust me. And so I just figured that it's better time and money spent on the people that have already worked with me, that already love me and trust me. And I love them back. And I think if you sincerely care about other people, that comes through. And they've always taken care of me. I always just have people from my FOI. It's a constant stream and that's been perfect for me. And I just keep in touch with them, and I don't know, they've become my friends. You can't work with me and not expect to be my friend. So
sincerity can't be faked. You just can't.
I don't think so, but I really do love the people that I work with, and I feel like I can learn something from every single person. And so I just love learning from them, and I don't know, being part of their lives.
So it sounds like then you mine your past client database, and you keep in touch with people. When I say mine it, what to me that just means you're keeping in touch with them. You don't do a transaction and then just say, oh, call me in 5 or 6 years or 7 years when you want to decide to move again. It's just like you keep in touch with them.
Yes. I even tell them, I say, hey, you're not done with me. I'm going to be your friend for life. So yeah, they know all through the transaction that I'm their friend. I go to their, you know, baby showers and their, you know, like I go to their things because I sincerely want to keep in touch with them. I want to know what's happening in their lives. That's important to me, to know their kids' names, their dogs' names, their grandkids' names, you know. That's fun for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've only met a few people in my life that work strictly their database and do no other marketing and do really, really well. I know another loan officer that's all he's done and never bought a lead, doesn't do the social media thing, doesn't do anything. He's just kept track of his big database, of his past client database, and just like you, become friends. So it's rare that I find somebody that's done that and done it to the level that you have.
Yeah. Well, I've taken some classes on social media and things like that, but I feel like because of what my core values are, it throws off, it just throws me off. It kind of derails me instead of keeps me in line with what I want in my life. And so I don't get involved in the social media, and the people that do, that's great. Whatever works for you, I think you should do it. But for me, it was just kind of pulling me away from my focus and my family. And it's not what I wanted. So.
Yeah. Good for you for identifying that too, because most of us, we get sucked into social media. I mean, it's a time suck if you're not careful. So it's like, I find myself scrolling through feeds all the time. And it's just like, pretty soon, you know, you think, oh, I'm just going to go do one thing on social media. And pretty soon an hour's passed.
All right. Yeah. And I have never, ever had that, but it's because I'm focused on other things, and that's okay. Whatever your focus is, you know, make it work for you.
Yeah. Good for you though. So I love that business strategy. It's hands down by far the best strategy. If there is one thing that you could ever do to make your business go to the next level, it's what you're doing. It's not social media. It's not buying leads. It's not any of those things. The number one way to make your business really soar is your past database. So, and you've figured, I don't know if you knew that, but that is, and that's been a proven fact. So, you're a living testament to that. It's been fun. It's nice to meet somebody that's done that. So let's switch gears a little bit. I had somebody on my podcast not too long ago, just a week or two ago. And she was, she does a lot of builders. She does a lot of building. And one thing that she mentioned was for advice that she gave to the sellers or to the buyer's agent was to keep involved in the transaction. But you and I have had a different experience with this. So let's talk about builders and builders agents that are maybe captured agents and what our experience is. And this may get a little controversial. So anyway, let's talk about that. So tell me about your experience with builders and builders agents and and what that, just what you have found when you come across the builders.
Okay. So I think my biggest concern is that no matter how much I try to educate a buyer, that I need to be the first contact with anything at all they do with a builder. They don't quite understand that they can't just go online and click the little bubble and ask, are there any lots available? Because what we found is even if a client just asks a simple question, they capture that client's information. And somehow that means the client is working with the builder and slash builder's agent. And so it's really hard for me to explain to a buyer that even if you want me to ask one simple question, it has to be me that asks, because that to me doesn't seem like it's the best customer service for the general public. So I've kind of looked into it. I called the Division of Real Estate to say, what can we do about this? And I think the main problem right now is that builders are not regulated by the Division of Real Estate like we are. We have certain codes. Like if somebody calls me on a listing from the general public, that doesn't mean that they're my client. It means that they're asking if the house is available and if they can see it. So there's a disconnect there, and it's because the builders are regulated by a different department, which I can't remember the name of. But I had a great talk with the division, and they said that what we could do is, you know, kind of get some people together and talk to our legislature and see if there's something we can do to kind of make it better for the public. And that was my big concern, is I just don't want my buyers going in and feeling like they have to use the builder's agent and they have to use the builder's lender, where it may or may not be the best thing for them. And they don't understand why just asking a simple question would mean that they have to work with those people. And so for me, I just want the general public to be protected and cared for. And that's where I'm coming at the angle of, you know.
Yeah. So as a lender, we've come across builders all the time, and they have preferred lenders. Just like most agents do. Most agents have a preferred lender that they like to work with. And when they are building a house, they are giving incentives to the buyer to use their preferred lender. And it could be some kind of an upgrade. It could be some amount towards closing costs, but something that they're giving to use their preferred lender. So in fairness to the builder, I get why they do that, because they know and trust this lender, and they want to make sure that the transaction doesn't fail. Because just like you and I know, there's good agents, there's bad agents, there's good lenders, there's bad lenders. And they don't want somebody to get with a bad lender and have something screwed up and have the whole transaction fall apart right at the last minute. So they're giving an incentive. The problem with that I have found is that oftentimes the loan that they're getting is either a little more costly or not as good of an interest rate than other lenders that can provide to them. But they're getting pressure from the builder to use their preferred lender, even though it's not in their best financial interest to do so. And it sounds like that's the same gripe, or I hate to use gripe, but the same concern.
Sure.
is that they're getting pressured from the builder to use an agent. And I've even seen them try to steal and just say, hey, if you don't use this other agent, I can maybe get you a better deal on the house. And that should just be wrong. And I'll tell you why I have an issue with this is if who's going to fight for that buyer? If the agent is representing the builder, then who's representing the buyer?
And that's exactly the concern that I have for the public, and why I think that there needs to be a change to protect them. I really feel like something needs to be done both on the agent and the lending side, because you're right. I have seen people go and I'm like, whoa, that's a horrible interest rate, you know, but you got $5,000, you know,
you're going to pay $20,000, $40,000 in the long run for.
Yes.
But all they do is they look at this front end thing and say, hey, I'm getting $5,000. I'm going to use this because I'm getting $5,000, but they don't look at the long-term.
Yeah. Well, nobody explains it to them because they don't have someone on their side, really, is kind of how I see it. So for me, I want to do what's best for the people out there that don't have the knowledge or don't understand what's happening. I don't feel like it's fair to them. And so I really feel passionate about trying to make a change to make it better.
I think that's a long time coming, because this has been on my mind too, of how to make that change. I haven't made the phone calls to find out how to do that. Have you done any digging on, is there a petition that needs to be signed? Is there something, you know, you and I are going to get in trouble with builders over this podcast. So
we are, but hopefully they can see it from our perspective as well. You know, where as an agent, I'm held to a higher standard. I can't just go take somebody else's client whenever I want to, because they asked a question.
And on that same vein, as a lender, if I gave somebody an incentive to do something, I'd lose my license. I cannot give somebody incentive. So if somebody gives me a referral, I can't give them a thank you, you know, oh, here's $100 for a referral.
Right.
See, the problem would yank my license.
Yeah. It's a problem in my opinion that needs to be resolved. And I did talk to the division. They told me to call my legislature and see if we can get, I think what we would have to do is get a petition signed and get on their, in their meetings. We'd have to get on their agenda. So is I'm going to do it.
So put you on the spot a little bit here. Is that something that you're willing to head up? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. If I feel strong enough about something, because honestly, I care enough about people that this is happening to, I'm absolutely going to work on it. And I get a lot of agents calling and asking what I think about things. And just because I'm a broker and an owner, and we've had lots of conversations about it. It's a concern industry-wide. I just think somebody needs to say, this is what needs to happen. Who's in? And I think everybody would want to participate because they care about people.
Yeah, I can see that. I think you're probably right. A petition. So I'm telling you, man, we're gonna have some fallout from
this. I know, but like I said, I hope they can see it from our point of view, where they're licensed agents and they learn the code of ethics just like I do. And the things that are happening are not, you know, it's not correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not trying to say that builders are bad, because building, no. You know, I've had family members. I personally haven't built my a new home, but I've had family members, and most of my family have built a new home. And there's something about having a new home. It's mm-hmm. It's pretty cool, because you have some say into how that design is going to be. And so there's some cool factor. It's a cool factor.
Yes. And I think I had 15 buyers last year that bought new construction. I'm not against it at all. I love the idea of brand new. It's just, if they're going to, I just want them to play by the rules to make sure that people are protected and understand what's happening.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of choice, and people feel like their choices are being taken away, either because they're being a little bit pressured, or because they're getting an incentive that maybe isn't as great of an incentive as they think it is in the long run.
Right, because they don't understand how that incentive works, and maybe there's legitimate times when there's just a true incentive, but most of the time, you know, most of the time the client's not understanding how they're getting that incentive back.
Well, and not just incentives, but also going back to if they don't use a buyer's agent such as you that goes in and fights for them and talks to the builder and helps them understand some of these logistics, then they're just getting, they're getting an agent that's there to protect the builder.
So right, right.
And it's really important for the consumer to understand that.
Yeah, and like I said, most, you know, no matter how many times I try to educate my clients on it, they're not in a place where they understand it enough to, anyway, yeah, we need to go the other way and see if we can help it. So yeah, I'm going to be following up with that for sure.
Cool. You've mentioned a couple times, you're driven by your values. So what, in your, I think your balance and family, sorry, I'm switching gears on you again.
Okay.
Driven by values. What does that mean? What does that mean to you that you're driven by your values?
I think everybody is more than they know, but whatever your core deep beliefs are, like for me, mine are that I never want any regrets with how I raised my kids and how much time I spent with my kids. And so for me, that value, that core deep value of that important family time was so ingrained and deep in me that if I ever had gone against that, it would have been uncomfortable. I would have hated my job and, you know, it wouldn't have been worth anything that I would have given up to have that inner peace because I was following my core values. So I learned a long time ago that if your values are clear, decisions are easy. And so I wanted to find out early on, what are my values and what things am I holding true to that give me peace? Because the second that you go away from that is when you feel off kilter and unhappy and overwhelmed. So if you keep your values in line with what you're doing and how you're living your life, it's just, it's really amazing how it all comes together. And it's just, it's amazing.
So how does that equate to, you said you never bought Zillow leads. It's you don't do social media. How does being true to your values, how does that equate to sales, or how does that equate to your business?
So like you kind of brought up, if I were to, I think social media can be very addictive. I don't know because I really don't do it. I posted my daughter's wedding pictures and I posted them and I left the page. I don't even know who's responded. So it's one of those things I wanted on there for a journal entry, but I'm not going to go on there and see how many likes I got, or because that's not important to me. What's important to me is who did I help today and what did I learn from someone today? And so I think you can really get caught up really easily in the wrong things if you don't know what you want.
I wrote down a quote that you, that you said prior to the podcast. Are you not getting sales? If you're not getting sales, are you true to your values? And I thought that was a pretty profound statement. And if people were more true to their values, they wouldn't get, you know, some of us are just like, oh, squirrel. Yeah. Like, well, what's the next best thing? But it's maybe not true to your values. So your values are your peeps. It's just like, who is my family? Who are my clients? You know, that's your values.
Yes.
And it shows in your sales. It shows in your business.
I love how you said squirrel, because you know how many offers I get, you know, when you are published in the paper and things as a top agent, I get so many calls for coaches and for all these things that I could dedicate my time and my energy and my money to, but it's like, why would I do that? I'm happy with what I have. I'm happy with the number I'm doing. I'm happy with the people that surround me. So why add anything extra that would be a squirrel? There's no need.
Yeah, I love that, Tonya. I don't even know what to say to that. That's like another profound statement. It's just like, you know what is important in your life, and you don't need to bring all these other distractions in, because it will. It can derail you pretty quick.
Right. And when you're doing 120 transactions, I really have to stay focused on taking care of those people and taking care of my family and taking care of me. And if you do extra things that people, all this great big hype of stuff, you know, I could grow my business. I could add a whole bunch more people to my business and I could do 500 transactions, but you know what? That's not my core. I want to be happy with what I'm doing and have that balance in my life. And you have to find that balance. And when you find it, it's beautiful and you don't need anything else.
Man, I love that. This has actually been a really enlightening podcast for me, because sometimes I always add, you know, I have a whole team behind me. So I'm one of those guys that, you know, we need to get more, we'll add some more people, we'll just do some more. And I think sometimes I find myself out of balance myself. So, you know, it's something that I probably need to look at myself. So I thank you for bringing that into the podcast.
You're welcome. Well, just think at the end of your life, what do you want to look back and say? I worked 80 hours a week. I don't think anybody would want to say that. So,
you know, and I'll be honest. So you mentioned that you brought in your sister because you didn't like paperwork. It's just not your thing. And that's the reason why I started building a team too, is because I found that there are things that I like to do and things that I'm good at. And the other things that I don't really like to do and I'm not good at, I just hire it out. Mm-hmm. Because I'm finding that I'm actually doing more business and finding more time to do other things because I'm getting all of that other stuff off of my plate. And it's allowing me to do the things that I want to do, which is going out and talking to people and getting some business in the door and doing the sales type activities and letting my team go close the loan. And I don't get in their way unless there's a problem. It's rare that there's a problem that they can't solve. But if there's a problem they can't solve, then they'll say, hey, Ron, we need some help with this one. But other than that, man, I just do the stuff that I like to do and that I'm good at and leave it to my team. And
isn't that a beautiful place to be?
Yeah, it's wonderful. It is wonderful to be there.
Well, the reason why it takes me twice as long to do paperwork as it does my sister is because I don't like it. I'm going to look for any excuse not to do it.
I'm right there with you. So can I process a loan? Absolutely. I know how to process a loan, but it takes me 3 or 4 times as long with my processor because she likes that kind of stuff. And it is just not me. It just takes me forever to do that stuff.
I totally understand.
Yeah. Well, Tonya, this has been awesome. I love talking to you and hopefully we can make some change in this industry a little bit. And so what is the best way for somebody to get hold of you if they wanted to get hold of you?
My cell phone, text or call. Do you want that number?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. It's 801-808-5084.
801-808-5084. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, any other words of wisdom you would like to leave us with?
Just a quote everybody's heard before: what you focus on expands. So make sure what you're focusing on is something you want to expand.
That's awesome. All right. So, so if you want to get hold of me or my team, you can get hold of us at 801-628-7667. And thanks again, Tonya. I appreciate you being on this episode.
The pleasure was all mine, really. Thank you so much.
And that will bring to close another episode of Agent versus Lender.
You've been listening to Agent versus Lender. We put it all